program is rated TV-MA-LV. It contains strong language and violence. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Fulfill Ra's al Ghul's destiny!
Do you hear that, Mr. Anderson? That is the sound of inevitability. Dude, my name is Neo. I've got a couple of stories from two different sources that I thought we could coalesce and get an idea of what the fuck is going on. So, without further ado, the first story comes from thegatewaypundit.com. Florida Surgeon General enters the war room to discuss the dangers of COVID vaccines on young men and Twitter's desperate attempt to silence him, by Jim Hoft. Florida Surgeon General released a shocking report on Friday, according to Dr. Joseph Lapado.
Did I say that right?
Ladapo. Oh, see, that dyslexia kicked in. Take two. Florida Surgeon General released a shocking report on Friday, according to Dr. Joseph Ladapo. There was an 84% increase in the incident of cardiac-related deaths among males 18 to 39 years old within 28 days following our mRNA vaccination. That is a huge number. Dr. Ladapo recommended that young males from 18 to 49 refrain from taking the COVID vaccine. Denmark and Sweden recently halted vaccines for healthy children. Here's the report. Today, State Surgeon General Dr. Joseph A. Ladapo has announced new guidance regarding mRNA vaccines. The Florida Department of Health Department conducted an analysis through a self-controlled case series, which is a technique originally developed to evaluate vaccine safety. This analysis found that there is an 84% increase in the relative incidence of cardiac-related death among males 18 to 39 years old. That's fighting age. Yes, by every definition. Within 28 days following mRNA vaccination with a high level of global immunity to COVID-19, the benefit of vaccination is likely outweighed by this abnormally high risk of cardiac-related death among men in this age group. Non-mRNA vaccines were not found to have these increased risks. As such, the state surgeon general recommends against males age 18 to 39 from receiving mRNA COVID-19 vaccines. And there's the official tweet. There's the Florida Health Department report. This tweet was too hot for the leftists at Twitter. Twitter suspended Dr. Ladapo and put a warning on his tweet. The Florida Surgeon General, the guy that's over all of Health and Human Services for the state of Florida, has determined this and issued it via Twitter. So again, Twitter has been saying for years, like when he was elected to the position, there was probably, or appointed to the position, either one, there was probably a pre-existing Twitter account for him. And people were told, hey, follow him on Twitter to get breaking news before it trickles down through the umbrella of the agencies and through the media. That's what it's supposed to be. Here it is. Here's the information for you. And what did they do? They censored it because it doesn't fit their narrative. Again, this is Florida. The governor has been saying from the get-go, no, we're not going along with any of this. We're not shutting down. We're not forcing anything on anyone. It's the fucking flu. Go on with your lives. Now, here we are. After a major uproar, Twitter allowed the tweet back up. The social media giant decided they knew more about medicine than Dr. Latipo and took his tweet down. Big Pharma would not tolerate it. Twitter continues to ban tweets from distinguished doctors who speak out against the Big Pharma agenda or contradict Killer Fauci. We are living in extraordinary times. On Monday, Dr. Joseph A. Latipo went on the War Room with Steve Bannon to discuss it. That pirate outlaw motherfucker. Navy intelligence. To discuss his latest tweet and the freakout by the pro-pharma social media giant, Dr. Latipo, as you all know, we've had this period of time when people are told they're crazy if they have the suspicion that masks aren't working or that lockdowns aren't necessary or that kids will be fine if they don't go to school or that that reaction you had after you took one of those COVID vaccines is all in your head or it's unrelated. So I'm thrilled to be able to provide some sanity, if you will, to folks to let them know that they're not crazy. How refreshing. Dr. Latipo is not afraid to speak the truth on the many mistakes and lies hurled at the American people since the onset of the pandemic. Dr. Joseph Latipo then discussed Twitter's attempt to silence his voice. Why is Twitter anti-science? That's the end of that article. And then after a brief break, we'll go over to the other.
That's why this executive order directs the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS.
Which is from Substack. Bad Catitude. I came across this via Revolver. Revolver News. So, converting to reader view. Got some cool memes on here too.
Chumman Meow.
It's got a cat. It looks like Mao.
Pay them to sing the praises of the great leader.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I guess this El Gato Malo, 22 hours ago. See, this is hot shit right here. Anyway, I read these and put them together. Hopefully, like I said, we'll talk about it. So here we go. Whew. This is good coffee. It's a funny thing about manipulative skullduggery. When you engage in it as a core practice, you tend to presume that everyone around you is doing it too. You assume that there are no grassroots movements, just pay-for-play astroturf and machination. Nothing baffles a liar like an honest man. Perhaps this is why so many in government these days are so prone to accusing others of meddling with media and elections and public sentiment and being in the pay of everyone, from the Russians to the Koch brothers, because all their own influence and impact are bought with dirty gold. Judicial Watch, who has done just astonishing amounts of great work all COVID by using FOIA, FOIA, to get a look behind the curtains of some truly recalcitrant wizards, has struck another mother load of deceitful nastiness. Let's look. The title is Biden's HHS and CDC paid screenwriters and comedians to mock the unvaccinated. That'd be me. This story is disturbing. Perhaps even more so is the deafening silence of legacy outlets on this topic. Gee, I wonder why. One document in the released records was entitled PEC Public Education Campaign Plan, April 19 through May 31, 2021, and featured all the following bullet points and more. These documents confirm what many of us have long suspected: the HHS and CDC paid stand-up comedians to mock the unvaccinated in their comedy routines. I'll interject here. Remember that one gal that mocked Jesus? She said, I'm triple vax. Jesus really loves me. And she immediately collapsed and broke her skull on stage. Just saying, man. You know, if you don't believe, you don't believe. But if you want to go the extra step and openly mock someone else's belief, and you could be wrong, there could be an omnipresence. So that could be coincidence if that happened to you. All of those things put together: you're unvaccinated, you're being paid to vaccinate, or you're vaccinated, you're being paid to mock people who aren't vaccinated. You in turn mock their God, and you immediately fall down and break your fucking face on the stage. At the very least, that's poetic justice, or, you know, woeful irony. Anyway, where were we with this? Screenwriters and production companies were also bribed to push vaccine propaganda in their episodes, and social media influencers were paid off to pimp the untested jabs. Part of the COVID-19 stimulus push included a cool $1 billion to the CDC for propaganda payoffs and bribes. They used this money to flood tech platforms, Hollywood writers, and influencers with dark money, and in return, they had to sell their soul by promoting the mRNA jabs. Huh? Didn't we just read about those? So y'all getting that? The CDC got a frosty billion in PSYOP slush funding. That sudden eruption of late-night talk show vaccine pushing and unvax vilification and ridicule, the fawning dances and talking point purity festivals, your tax dollars bought it. That's right. Paid for that shit. None of this was marked as marketing, or even as official. It was disguised as groundswell to make you think it was what the cool kids were into. It's Buy My New Tequila, brand ambassador sponsorship with Bottle Babes. You can read piles more here, where Judicial Watch links to the whole FOIA trove. It's so bottomlessly cynical and nasty. Pay particular note to the customers, custom partnerships with social media and the algo manipulation. This is rapidly becoming everything. It's all make-believe groups and actors masquerading as something societal. Check out this new ploy from the Daily Wire. Dem operatives behind network of fake news pop-up sites and battleground states report. These are people whose brand is so stained they need to invent fake local papers to launder it. Charming. Democratic operatives are flooding battleground states with more than 50 supposedly local media outlets that are really designed to promote liberal candidates, according to a bombshell investigation by Axios. So they're using misleading pop-up, I mean, what's the term we're looking for? Those ads that South Park, again, parried this. Butters, or no, Jimmy, you're thinking with your dick. Bill Hader. Jimmy, you're thinking with your dick. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Where the ad and the AI, and they were battling this, and sorry, I'm going off track here, but yes, that's like deceptive catfishing, whatever the fuck you want to call it, where old people, the same people that buy fucking jewelry from the shopping network, and then that ends up at the gold cash for gold shops, they expose that. But these ads, it looks like a news site, like a newspaper. You think you're looking at a legitimate news outlet, and it's not. It's a political party that is willfully trying to deceive you to vote in their favor. Do you catch that? I finally got it out. Sorry, it took me so long. But yes, think about that. Lies on top of lies, packed into a lie, wrapped with the lie. That's their brand. Fuck. One man linked to the scheme is David Brock, the one-time conservative journalist who did a 180-degree turn and founded Media Matters for America, the controversial nonprofit that attacks conservative news sites. Axios investigative reporters Lachlan Marquet and Thomas Wheatley say the operation uses a patina of independent news, local news content designed to put a sheen of original reporting on partisan messaging. Fuck. Pop-up sites, they were pop-ups, have names such as the Milwaukee Metro Times, Macomb Digest, Mecklenburg Herald, and the Tri-City Record, and are aimed at key swing states: Arizona, Colorado, Georgia, Michigan, New Hampshire, Nevada, North Kakalaki, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and Wisconsin. According to the report, they are sprinkling in just enough seeming local news to pass cursory inspection, but these sites are basically PACs masquerading as down-home reporters from the neighborhood. The cast of characters is entirely predictable. Local Report has a relationship with the American Independent TAI, whose current president is Matt Furemeyer, was a former senior aide at the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee and aide to the late former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. Many of the articles appearing on Local Report sites are written by a half dozen writers who work for the Washington-based TAI, which was founded by Brock. Jessica McCrae, a former Obama administration operative who serves as the American Independent's executive editor, told Axios that American Independent and the Local Report have a partnership and a co-publishing agreement. She claimed the sites are legitimate local news outlets. Okay, that must be true. Adding to the fun, there seems to be no ad model attached to these sites. Their funding is clearly from elsewhere. Huh. There is a propaganda tactic called tinselling, where you just inundate a populace with so much fake data and false claims that they wind up with no idea what to believe. You exhaust them chasing down and refuting lie after lie after lie. Maybe you've seen this movie before. And here's a meme of what looks like some street art that says if you repeat a lie often enough, it becomes truth, and it's crossed out and little girls writing science. Yeah, see, everyone's seeing this shit now. It may not be too late. The net effect is a sort of hall of mirrors. People have no idea what to trust. It's a powerful short-term tactic, but especially in the internet age, it tends to backfire bigly. And this is how you can tell that our would-be overlords are not actually terribly smart. These cut-rate supervillains are unmaking the very firmament of their own power. I agree, brother, sister, whoever. A loss of trust in everything is anathema to technocratic rule. Trust the experts is supposed to be doctrine. Instead, it's become a punchline. You lose control of the narrative, and those who opposed it gain structure and audiences. Sorry, I need to go back that up. Trust the experts. Just talking to a friend about stuff like this last night, and I mentioned it. That's what Biden does. He said, well, the experts say. Okay, so when he's a 47-year politician, and when he deals with the public, the press, other dignitaries, other foreign leaders, he relies on expert opinion. Trump, the former president, he's an expert on all that shit. You know, he consults with experts, but he doesn't rely on them. DeSantis, same thing. He's an expert on shit. He doesn't need to. Well, the experts. Hey, again, just examine that. Mr. President, what's going on here? His reply, well, the experts say, okay. That's not what I'm asking you, what the experts say. I'm asking you what's going on. But are we spoiled because of Trump? Because we got to see a glimpse of transparency in government, and then it was immediately taken away from us, and we got this. The experts. Fuck the experts, man. How are they experts? Why are they experts? Because they got a degree from somewhere that they went through the academia and the fraternity system and whatever, you know, whatever secret society they belong to, or they're, you know, Masons or whatever, and they achieve this wealth and prominence, and then they get fucking bought off, and whether it's a TV writer or an actor or a comedian or you name it, man, politician. Matthew McConaughey, you think he didn't get fucking paid to run out there and start pimping vaccines and taking pictures of himself out in the middle of the fucking nowhere with a mask on? You think he doesn't get paid to run out there and start squawking about fucking Uvalde and gun control? Just like, yo, your boy Kanye said the other night. Come on, man. Come on, man. No one fixes the Biden.
Looking at the press assembled before me, probably know more about it than I do. I'm not a tech guy. I'm learning.
So, yeah, anyway, you lose control of the narrative, and those who oppose it gain stature and audiences. Your slurs become badges of honor and authenticity. Here's another meme. Mom, what's a conspiracy theorist? Someone who figures out the truth before most people, dear. Touché. This is a political tribe that has blown it so badly that all they have left is the one move, look around, lie. This is burning the roof to heat the house, level stuff, and the contagion is like measles, because while people may know what to trust, they do know one thing. Because while people may not know what to trust, they do know one thing. Anyone who will lie to you about one big thing will lie to you about another, and all the threads get pulled. What else have you been misleading me on becomes the question of the hour. Each new institution that gets caught telling porcupines indicts the next one, once you realize that the CDC and FDA are completely politically captured and corrupt. It's a small jump to, wait, the Fed is too? Seeing the true colors of the Department of Education and the modeling of the Department of Health leads to pointy questions about the EPA and IPCC and the grant of the Nobel Prize in Economics to helicopter Ben Bernanke for his work on banks and the groundbreaking discovery that money printers go burn, just leads to more laughter, distrust, and of course, malign creativity. All over the world, the trust bubble is bursting. I was chatting with Gadapol Jeffrey Tucker, whose Brownstone Institute has become such a powerful force for sense and sanity, about this as a sort of passing remark, referring to the Econ Nobel. He said, God, like we needed another huge and once respected thing completely discredited. But one might well make the opposite argument. To my mind, this is precisely what we need. FWIW, I think Jeff believes this too. His off-the-cuff reaction just proves a useful foil. The outlines of the so-called deep state that was sold as a conspiracy and the internationalist cabals and their cardigan-clad conspirators all came into sharp relief during COVID. It's not hidden anymore. The idea of entrenched constituencies that seek power and are out to get you so they can get theirs is now mainstream, and the speed and scale of the ruin they have caused is just too big to hide. This is like a replay of the late 70s at 100 times scale and 10 times speed. Some might argue that this might be a deliberate manifesting of the Alinsky playbook to sabotage everything, creating crisis after crisis until the world demands saving and we will accede to a new order if it means an end to the madness. You break markets, economies, and societies and then blame them for the failure so that the demos clamors for your firm hand in charge. But if that's the game, they blew it. Does anyone outside the 25% mired in tribal echo chambers have even a succon of confidence in these yo-yos? The success of this play hinges upon trust in technocracy and in elites. It requires faith and smart people making smart choices for us and leading us to the greater good, and in the idea that such is even possible. Yeah, pull my other paw. It plays Jungle Bells. Most of the world does not need another look down that road to know that it's one they'd prefer to leave untraveled. And these guys just keep digging the hole they will wind up buried in so long as we retain our sense and our nerve. So do not mourn the bursting of the institutional trust bubble. Relish it. This assumed authority was never real and always fraught. Perhaps embrace another ethos instead and let's go find our own way without them. And there you have it. If you're still listening, sorry, I made it through that. But yeah, that's it was written in interesting format, Substack, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, regardless of that, put it together. Okay. I'm sure you could go back to a number of my podcast episodes where I said that anyone still wearing a mask or pushing any type of COVID narrative whatsoever, whether it exists, whether you need to be afraid of it, whether you need to vaccinate for it, whether the sudden death syndrome that is taking over the fucking world just happens to be happen chance, anyone that's promoting that is getting paid, and the CDC, while they were putting a moratorium on evictions, positioning landlords where they couldn't evict people that weren't paying their rent, crushing them economically, all of that was by design. And people allowed it to happen because all of it was unconstitutional. All of it. Even if there was an actual fucking bio threat that was supposedly going to kill 20 million Americans, that was the original scare tactic, 20 million Americans, and they barely scraped together 200,000 with all the manipulation of data. Okay? But these comedians, these late night talk show hosts, these actors, any of them, influencers, anyone, TikTokers, Instagram, anyone that was pushing it, if your employer was pushing on you, they were taking government fucking funding, COVID funding. They're still getting it. I heard about some state where some mama bear found out that the school district was getting like $250 million to impose COVID restrictions, require all of it protocol. And it was like this. It was a slush fund. Here's quote unquote educational funding, but you only get it if you make your kids get vaccinations and wear masks. Oh, and push the, you know, the other agendas that come along with our administration and our political party. So, yeah, you know, it's obvious it's not just me that's putting this shit together. And, you know, thankfully, and again, talking to my friend last night, you have this coalescence of understanding that people that, you know, again, I believe Alex Jones and Steve Bannon were kind of at odds 3 or 4 years ago. Now they've joined forces. You know, Tucker Carlson has Kanye West on, who they talk about Alex Jones. They would have edited that out several years ago. Tucker mentions Alex Jones openly now. Hell, he fucking quotes him. Joe Rogan is sitting on the fence, leaning so far to the right, you know, it's everything he can do to hang on without, you know, falling over. Everyone is just being the Tulsi Gabbard. She just bailed on it. So, I mean, that's grassroots. These are people that not only are not getting paid to resist, they are losing livelihoods. Alex Jones the settlement was $8 billion or some shit. $500 million per plaintiff. That's going to be in the court for years, and eventually it's going to be the news story that the Supreme Court somewhere is going to throw it out. And if it makes it all the way up there, they're going to say, no, not only does he not have to pay $8 billion, he doesn't have to fucking pay anything. This is ridiculous. It's a litigious fucking lawsuit that should have been thrown out, but whatever, we're living through it. Yeah, sorry, I got a little pro Alex Jones there, but. And then additionally in the conversation we were having, I guess I'll leave you with this. Being a Gen Xer and a Cold War vet and a elementary school student during the height of the Cold War and being forced to actively participate in civil defense drills, where I mentioned before I crawled under a press metal desk that was supposed to protect me somehow. You know, we didn't have any mop gear laying around, and they weren't, you know, it wasn't a team of teachers and custodians that were going to start securing the windows and all that kind of shit. They just told us to crawl under our fucking desks. So it's just like when the fucking hellish murderous COVID virus came along, and they said, yeah, you can't fly on a plane unless you wear a Carl's Jr. hamburger wrapper on your face. I once again knew right then and there that this has nothing to do with the fucking virus. It's all about control and manipulation and power. It was like a huge power grab that they just ganked on everyone. And then while people were trying to resist it and bitch and cry about it, you know, non-violent dissent, motherfuckers just got bitch slapped. But now it's coming back around. Now we're all going to rely on lawsuits and tort suits and civil suits and independent journalists uncovering the truth. But again, what we need is just for, you know, what the Constitution allows is a restructuring of the government. This one has horribly failed. And thankfully, the people who structured our republic had the foresight and the advanced thinking to see this shit coming. This is a system that's set up that just invites corruption. But if you can resist it, and you can pull together your resources and determination to not allow it to be corrupted, then it's the greatest societal model that the world has ever seen, where every human being that stands on soil of the United States is a king, is a sovereign man, declared and decreed by the Creator, the Lord of Lords, the Host of Hosts, the King of Kings.
In what century are they in?
Fuck you, sir!
Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh.